Religion is one of the most popular subjects in the world. There are all kinds of religions. And probably the most popular religion in America today is no religion at all. And so since we navigate through society, we have opportunities to discuss religious matters and spiritual things with people of all sorts. And so today, for just a few minutes, I want to talk to you about a simple explanation of Christianity. I call it applied Christianity. Christianity, of course, is the religion that is based on the person and the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's based upon the message that comes from heaven. Christianity is a system of faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you cannot separate your faith from the Word of God. That's where faith comes from. That's where our relationship with the Eternal Father is found. The whole basis of Christianity is the Word of God. So get one, read it. You have one, I know, but read it. And when men of God stand in places like this, thank you for being here. But when teachers and preachers in your local assemblies stand to edify the body of Christ, it's vitally important that you be there too. That you might be able to not only learn, but to learn how that you may better teach others. What did Jesus teach? Well, probably the most famous sermon in the world is the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And in that passage, you remember that Jesus said in verse 13 that we're the salt of the earth. Salt had a saving influence. He tells us that we are the light of the world, and that by that others might see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. So our influence is powerful and it's critical. And people are led to God and to a relationship with God because of the light that shines in the community where we live. Matthew chapter 5, verse 37 says that we're just always to teach the truth. And we're always to speak the truth. In fact, Jesus said it in the King James that our yeas are to be yeas and our nays are to be nays. And that means simply when you say yes, it's yes. Not maybe, probably, or any facsimile close. But it's yes. And when you say no, it's no. And every Christian man and woman has a responsibility to speak in a way that is clear, and especially in our relationships one with another in the kingdom of God. There's too much cloudy language among too many of our people. One of the things that Jesus also said was that we're to resist evil in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. You know, this is in that passage about if you're slapped on one cheek, turn the other. But I think really we emphasize the slapping on the cheek thing and lose sight of the message that Jesus is really saying here. He says that you are not to resist evil. Evil is going to come. It's going to come in your life. And when it comes, Jesus just said, accept it. Go with it. There are evil people who will say and do things that are evil, and you are to accept that. And his example of that was the slap. But he gave another example. For instance, if a Roman soldier was to ask a Jewish fellow to carry his luggage for a mile, Jesus said, take it too. Or if somebody sues you for your coat, then give him your cloak also. Give him more than he demands. Give him more than what is required of you. Give him something to think about. Do you ever do things in your life that would make people think, why did he do that? One of the best ways to influence someone to a spiritual conversation is to do something that he's not expecting. To do something that is a little beyond what his expectations were. So Jesus said, carry that man's luggage 2 miles and give him something to think about on the rest of his way. In Matthew chapter 6, in the first 18 verses, Jesus talked about prayer, and he talked about giving, alms, and he talked about fasting. And he says that we're to do that quietly, that we're to do that in a way that does not draw any attention to ourselves. but rather that we might be able to accomplish the spiritual purpose that we have set out to accomplish. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." You are either in the kingdom of God or you are not. And if you are in the kingdom of God, there is a position of priority that needs to be clearly understood. It is first. It's first. It's before family. It's before job. It's before vacation. It's first. And the kingdom of God usually worships more often than Sunday a.m. You won't find a.m. mentioned, not in the book. And when the church assembles, if the kingdom of God is first, then we will feel an obligation to do whatever we can do in the work and the worship of the church. The Laodiceans were lukewarm, and Jesus said that He would spew them out of His mouth. Christianity is a life of forgiveness. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." God never stops forgiving, and neither can we. In Matthew 7, 13, 14, He talks about two roads, one straight and narrow, one wide, that many people travel. And He tells us that we have a choice to make. And that passage clearly says to you and I, and to anyone that we speak spiritual matters with, that there's only one road. Just one road. When He comes to the end of His sermon in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says concerning His audience, He said, "Those of you who hear these sayings of mine and do them, I will liken it to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And when the winds blow and the storms come and the rains fall and beat upon that house, it'll stand. And to those of you that hear what I say and don't do what I say, I would liken you into a fool. And when the storms of life come, what you've based your confidence in is going to fall." And that's true about anything that does not have to do with what's first in our life, the kingdom of God. Are you wise? Are you a fool? That has nothing to do with whether you listen to the Word of God. Listening is wonderful. I love to hear the gospel preached. But it's when you get up and walk out, that's the concern of heaven in your life. The lawyer asked Jesus, "What is the greatest commandment?" And isn't that just like all of us? We're good about drawing lines and deciding that I don't have to go farther than that. I don't have to do more than that. Nothing more than that could be expected of me. So Lord, just tell me, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus, of course, told him that it was to love God with all of your heart, your soul, and your mind. And brethren, inspiration has not changed. That's still the greatest commandment. Priorities are vital in our life. But then Jesus added to that answer when He said that the second is likened to it. It's almost as important. It's right up there with it. And that is, you love your neighbor like you love yourself. Three issues He discusses. The first is God, the second is others, and you're last. And if you'll remember that order, God first, others second, and you last, It will simplify a lot of things in your spiritual life. You don't have to count very far. It doesn't take a college degree to get to three. God first, others second, me last. Christianity is not just preaching Jesus. It's not just teaching His principles. It's not just a system of theology. Christianity is life. The life that you live every day, not just Sunday. But it's the life that you live every day in His service by His direction. As Jesus drew near the end of the Gospel of Matthew, He describes judgment. And He said in that day that the judge is going to separate the sheep from the goats. How long do you think it takes a shepherd to know the difference between a sheep and a goat? I mean, it's quick. And He said, I'm going to put the sheep on my right hand and the goats on the left. And I'm going to say to the sheep that they are welcome to come into eternal life. And they're going to ask, Lord, why? And He said, because I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and in prison and you visited me. And He's going to say to the goats on the left, that they're cast out into everlasting darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And they're going to say, wait a minute, Lord. You know, we've done a lot of good stuff in Your name. But Jesus said that He would say to them, I was hungry and You gave me no meat. I was thirsty and You gave me no drink. I was a stranger and You did not receive me. I was naked and You didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison and You didn't visit me. It's not all in the message. If you don't practice the message, your spiritual life cannot be successful. In verse 45, Jesus said, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it not to me. And as I read that passage, brethren, it sounds like He takes it really personal in judgment. And so I hope that each of us, as we progress through life, we'll take very seriously the reading and studying and the preaching of the Word of God. And that we'll take it serious enough to go out and do what it says. It's amazing to me that a drink of water would cost someone their soul. We don't do a lot of talk about good works. But you remember Jesus said, the good works that you demonstrate will draw people to the Father. And when it came down to judgment, He didn't talk about immorality or other forms of ungodliness. He talked about some little things, little doctrinal issues that are going to keep a lot of us from where we want to spend eternity.